You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, welcome back to Up North News Radio on this Friday, March 7th, 2025. Nice to have you along as we wrap up the work week here. Get set to head into the weekend, and coming up this hour, we will once again have our Week in Review panel, including former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Chicago journalist Mark Jacob and Chicago radio broadcaster Joan Esposito. We'll all be here, followed by Dan Schumacher talking about sports. But before we do any of that on this Friday morning, we've got to bring in Brittany Merlot. I was looking at the Hayward forecast before Brittany and telling people in the last hour that while it was 4 degrees there in Hayward, do not worry. The end is in sight with 40s.
The end is nigh.
Yes. For the single digits.
Yeah.
We're going to put zeros after those things. Maybe 40, maybe 50. It's going to be nice next week.
Oh, it sure is.
Look at this. She's doing a little chair dance, you know, just kind
and
of popping.
After, like, after next week, locusts. Enjoy.
Or yeah, blizzard. Right? Yeah. You know, anything's possible in Wisconsin. But in the here and now, we've got a very pretty start to the day up here.
Oh, we sure do, especially up north. This is the time to be up north. We're seeing a ton of sunshine. It is crisp and cool with temperatures into those single digits, but we will warm up nicely today. We're looking at mid-20s, far northeast, some upper 20s into the northwest areas, but we will hit 40 degrees far south in the state, but there's a reason why. It's because it's cloudy down there. Those temperatures are staying much warmer along the southern state line, and you're also looking at a chance of some light snow and a wintry mix. This is, again, far, far south into the state of Wisconsin. Otherwise, up north, we're going to see a ton of sunshine today. Just a little on the cooler side of things, trying to melt that snow. It is keeping us colder with our average highs. Now, of course, as we go into tomorrow, the state is going to be warming up, especially the west side. You're going to be hitting anywhere from the low 50s to about the upper 40s. Now, of course, further up north, some low 40s are definitely possible. And then as we go into Sunday, we're looking at 40s east and 50s west. So getting even warmer, and it doesn't stop there. Monday is the warmest day of this stretch, where we are going to look at some 60 degree temperatures far southwest in the state and some 50s northeast. So that snow is definitely going to be melting. We're going to be feeling like spring. And did I mention it's going to be sunny the entire weekend?
Oh,
gorgeous.
We love that. Love that news. We were talking fish fries before the break. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and 15 right now. Great to see the sun shining brightly and the snow melting. I feel much better. I had a hot bowl of chicken dumpling soup. He said, I have my fish fry at Rachel's Roadside Bar and Grill in Wittenberg. Many of the great bars and restaurants serve fish fries in western Shawnee County. You got to have perch with French fries, coleslaw, lots of tartar sauce. And he says, Brittany isn't too far from Rachel's Roadside near Wittenberg, and she should try that place. So,
I should.
There you go.
Yes.
Ooh,
I said before in the last segment, it's like everybody's got a homework assignment now. When we talk fish fries a week from now, I want comments on Facebook or YouTube or texts about where you'd recommend people go get a fish fry. Who's got the best one?
Well, that's tough. The whole state is delicious.
I'm willing to try multiple places to get the right answer.
Right.
To this,
it's called science, people.
That's right. We're engaged in research. I feel so much better this morning compared to how I'm going to feel later today, because I really stepped in it last night as a dad. We have plans for this weekend, and my one daughter is driving out from Michigan with her two littles. I didn't realize that she was on speakerphone. I should have. She was driving, right? She was driving through Chicago, say, yep, we're on time, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, because I just wasn't thinking, I said, well, okay, well, you know, we can check in at 3 o'clock, but if you come earlier, you can go to the water park all day and blah, 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 blah. And then this little five-year-old voice from the back seat, I can hear, did Grandpa say water park? And I could just feel my daughter seething and her eyes running. Nope. He said library. Cause you know, otherwise he was going to ask for the next 12 hours. Can we go yet? He's like, no, yeah. I heard water park. I'm like, no, buddy. Library. I said, library. We're going to go to the library and get some books. It sounded like water park.
You're just gaslighting children. My God.
I know. Like, then I tried something else. I'm like, no, not water park. It was a otter bark. We were talking about otters from a book at a library. That's it.
We're taking you your first bar, buddy. We're taking your first bar. It's great. A Wisconsin tradition.
I would have.
She's going to open the door, hand you the kid in a bathing suit and go, have fun.
Yep. Get out. I've been listening to this kid for 12 hours now. So wish me well. Let's see if the day stays at this wonderfully high level it is. Thanks to you, Brittany. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
All right. A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter and the weekend one that I put together. If I get through this weekend anyway, you can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com for unabashedly Wisconsin news, a lot about Wisconsin's firsts in history in today's newsletter. And then we have our weekend edition of the newsletter as well. And that one will include a story that I'm going to tell you about right now. And it is about all of the offices around Wisconsin, federal government offices that are being closed because Elon Musk and his co-president, Donald Trump, are canceling the leases. So once again, you had contracts that were signed by the federal government saying, we commit to do this because this was what was approved by Congress in our federal budget. And you've got a president and his assistant just saying, nope, we're going to cancel these things. And these are not simply places with cubicles where minions fill out forms in triplicate. These are offices that provide customer service so that government offices run more efficiently. But that's not what's happening here when you've got Trump and Musk claiming to have cut $105 billion, although the number can't be verified and a number of the figures have had to be corrected. But the Trump administration said it has removed 443 federal properties, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel went to find out which ones were in Wisconsin, and they found at least 16 of them. And among them, they include things like an IRS office in La Crosse, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and it's one that serves as a taxpayer assistance center. You got questions, you can actually go talk to a human being. And then there are Social Security offices that are going to be closing in Green Bay and in Wausau. You have, most notably, in my mind, the Food and Drug Administration has offices in Madison and Wauwatosa. And you're thinking, okay, why does the FDA have offices out there? Well, the FDA has an import office. And the FDA is responsible for making sure that products imported into the U.S. are safe and compliant with FDA standards. And the office oversees 9 ports in Wisconsin. A lot of folks forget about that. When we talk about the border, we talk about the southern border. There's a border here in that there are plenty of places that come into the U.S. through the Great Lakes and come into any of the ports like the Port of Milwaukee or Green Bay or Superior and Duluth. And there are people who work for the federal government, not just looking for people who shouldn't be coming in, but products that shouldn't be coming in, things that aren't safe. And that kind of activity is being cut back sharply. There are offices for the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Ashland and Shawano that are being terminated. The one in Ashland employs 40 people, and it helps, again, process some of the lease fees and paperwork to make sure that we can account for, you know, land purchases and land transfers. And if you know anything about what's happening with the Lac des Flambeaux and the nearby town, there's definitely disagreements about how to handle ownership of land. These are things where local offices could have taken care of matters, and now those offices are going to be closed. And as if things weren't confusing enough, There's also the office of a U.S. attorney in Green Bay, except that there have been conflicting emails saying the lease is going to be terminated, and then that the lease won't be terminated. But the Journal Sentinel rechecked one of the websites to see if the lease was still listed, and it is. So, again, much like people's jobs, like you're fired. No, you're hired. No, you're fired. No, I mean, if this thing is the so-called Department of Government efficiency, where's the efficiency? Seriously. And then one more to tell you about. There's a USDA Rural Housing Service office in Stevens Point. And this office administers the USDA's Rural Development Program. That's something we talk about a lot on this program. It's a program that aims to bolster the rural economy in Wisconsin by increasing access to affordable housing, providing business loans, helping build new infrastructure for small town water and electric needs. These are all things that we had talked about with Julie Lassa for years when she was running the Wisconsin office during the Biden administration. She and a lot of her colleagues, had turnover with the new administration, but other people working there may be out of a job anyway because the leases have been terminated. What does the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, think about something like that? Well, a USDA spokesperson told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that, quote, Secretary Rollins fully supports President Trump's directive to eliminate wasteful spending and ensure tax dollars are used effectively. So, if she says she supports eliminating wasteful spending, then it is clear, once again, the Secretary of Agriculture believes that Wisconsin farmers and the Wisconsin rural economy and the need for affordable housing and small business development in rural Wisconsin is a waste. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. There are plenty of people who keep saying they want to cut wasteful spending. They think there's all kinds of wasteful spending. But to those folks, I would say, you are the waste that they're talking about. And a lot of people are finding this out the hard way. People who are saying, well, I voted for Donald Trump. I didn't think he'd cut my job. My job is essential. He doesn't think so. There's only one thing he thinks is essential, and it's not balancing the budget. He didn't do it last time. He tagged on an additional $2 trillion through the 2017 tax plan that benefited millionaires and billionaires. And now he wants to do it all over again. And it's going to add another $4 trillion to the deficit. There is no cutting of wasteful spending. There is the cutting of services and the loss of jobs and using that money to transfer to tax cuts for the very wealthy. There's not much that can be done until the midterms, but it's important that you know that this is what is happening. Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jonah Esposito next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.
I love how Greg says in a nanosecond what would take the rest of us a long time to say, which is, Pat, you can't do math, because I still thought there was another 30 seconds left in the break, and Greg quickly goes, 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, that's right. I can count. It's Friday. We're ready for a weekend here. We're ready for our Friday panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Chicago journalist Mark Jacob and Joan Esposito. And it's so great to have all of them here. And let me give it the proper introduction here. Joan Esposito hosts WCPT's live local and progressive afternoon show in Chicago. Prior to that, she spent 20 years as an anchor and reporter for WGN Channel 9, ABC 7, NBC 5. Head over to heartlandsignal.com to look for Joan and catch her show live or as a podcast. Joan, get that 20 years as an anchor thing out of there. We should not be dating ourselves like that.
Oh, really?
Nobody will believe it. How are you?
Shudder.
Yes. Thank you for being in here again today. Jennifer Schulze usually is in here as well. She's off this week. You can see her newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, at substack.com/@newsjennifer. Mark Jacob has his newsletter, stopthepresses.news, along with his video series with Stephen Beschloss on Target. Mark, how you doing?
Doing fine. Well, I mean, you know, news isn't making me cheerful, but I mean, the rest of my life's fine. I mean, people say, how you doing, Mark? And I say, well, everything's fantastic except for the collapse of democracy.
Yeah, yeah. That's been a theme throughout the past couple of weeks here is people catch themselves now when they go, how you doing? You know what? Don't answer that. That's fine. Amicus, a law review, can be heard live on Saturday mornings starting at 9 on civic media stations around Wisconsin with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well. Also pleased that even in the midst of the calamity about which Mark and Sean describe, we've got a president of the United States of America who, right after the State of the Union, walks down to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and says, thank you. I won't forget. Right. All is good in America, is it not?
Boy, I mean, things that are captured on microphone that you know are going to be a moment in history. And not to make light of somebody's foibles, but I will make an exception in this case. The fact that Speaker Mike Johnson's chief of staff was arrested for a DUI shortly after the speech just leads to the metaphor that these people are quite literally drunk on power. That's really what we've got to at this point. Jim, let me start with you because we just talked about before the break all those closings of offices around Wisconsin, including one allegedly for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Green Bay. Can you talk more about that office, even if we don't really know yet, if it's really it's like Schrodinger's office. It's both open and closed. We don't know, but tell us more about it.
We can go up there and knock on the door and see if, in fact, somebody opens the door. It should be open. It was established many years ago at the time that I and another U.S. attorney were focused on the uppermost region. This is still the Eastern District of Wisconsin. Prior U.S. attorneys and subsequent U.S. attorneys to me have staffed that office with practicing lawyers and professional staff who support the work of that part of the state. And it's important because, among other things, there is plainly a lot of white-collar crime. There's plainly a lot of violent crime. And significantly, the U.S. Attorney's Office also provides all of the prosecution for, yes, that's right, the Menominee Indian Tribe, which is about 40 to 50 miles just to the west of that office. It's in Green Bay. You practice in front of the federal judges and magistrates there. It is important for law enforcement throughout our state, throughout our district. And the fact that you would stop that does not mean that those lawyers and staff will not be doing work, but just the, and it's not just convenience, so I'm hesitant to use that word, but the access to ensure prompt, speedy, responsive action to crime when it happens, and civil cases as well, that cannot be overstated. The closing of it is not a good thing, if in fact that's happening.
No, for a place that said it was the alleged Department of Government efficiency is making things so much less efficient, again, leading right into my saying, those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And Mark, the examples are essentially endless of the ways that offices are being closed and that good people are being let go, so many of them veterans as well. But it leads to this question, as you monitor media coverage through all this, how much of it is essentially normalized, like, well, this is just what Trump does? And is there any kind of creeping sense yet of buyer's remorse from so many of these folks who lost their jobs and maybe supported Trump?
Well, I think there is some reporting on that. You know, the whole, you know, I voted for the leopards eat my face party, but I didn't think leopards were going to eat my face, you know, that kind of thing. But there are people who are just shocked that Trump will do this. And one thing I'd like to point out is, you know, you keep on hearing, well, that's what they voted for. Nobody voted for Elon Musk dismantling the federal government. That was not something that they advertised before the election. There's a whole lot. And nobody voted for invading Greenland or the Panama Canal or making Canada the 51st state. None of that crazy stuff was out there. So this idea that, you know, that, well, this is what you asked for. This is what you're getting. Isn't really true. This is just a shocking assault on the government. And yeah, there should be buyer's remorse. You know, people should be angry. According to the polls, people really opposed the pardons for the January 6th people. But I mean, the real question, Pat, I think, is if people are going to have enough memory, if we have another election in 2 years. You know, if will people have enough memory to stay mad? And I think people need to be. We need to help people stay mad because they have to realize what's being done to them right now.
Joan, you take calls throughout the day with your 2 to 5 show on WCPT. What can you tell us about the tone of the callers? If you're hearing from people who aren't just kind of your dyed in the wool, you know, Democrats, but other people who want to call in and say, it's a little weirder than even I was expecting.
Well, I haven't gotten any confessions from Trump trolls, but one thing I have noticed is I don't think Mark has to worry, at least not right now, about people being upset and crazed by what is happening, because a lot of my audience are old enough to remember former administrations, and they know just how utterly off the rails what's happening now is. One thing I have noticed, though, is I'm getting a lot of calls from around the country. Usually my calls have been Indiana, Illinois, you know, the area where our radio signal goes. But I'm getting a lot of calls from California. I'm getting a lot of calls from everywhere. I think that people, and I don't think that's because I've changed what I'm doing. I think people are looking for like-minded folks. They want to know what's going on, and from somebody who, you know, isn't going to give them talking points.
They just want to know, I'm not crazy, right? And they're not. We're all in that kind of company. We will continue our conversation with Joan Esposito, Mark Jacob, and Jim Santel right after this. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Back on a Friday morning, March 7th, 2025, here on Up North News Radio. Once again, joined by Joan Esposito of WCPT Radio, Mark Jacob, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And in our last hour, I talked to two of my Courier Newsroom colleagues, Cam Stevenson from Arizona and Zach Smith from Iowa. And if you missed that, go to civicmedia.us and you can listen back to past hours of the show. Go back as many days as you like. But one of the questions I asked them was whether we're yet seeing any signs of Republicans in some of these states saying, Mr. President, you know, I voted for you. I support you. I support wasteful spending, but not in this way. I would have expected that by now, say, on the Democratic side, because, you know, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, things like that. But are we seeing any mavericks? Are we seeing any spinal fortitude anywhere out there in the world? Joan, seeing anything out in your neck of the woods?
Not really, no. But I thought it was interesting when Elon sent those letters out to people saying, you've got to tell me everything you've done, like in the last year or two, so I know whether or not, you know, you're worth keeping. And it was the heads of the departments, the cabinet members, many of whom told their people, oh, you know, don't have to do that, or you don't have to do it right now. And then Trump pushed back. And now, if you've noticed, he's kind of relented. It's up to the cabinet members to keep the good people. So that's as close as I've seen. And that's not much.
No, it is not. How about, Mark, you look at it from a national perspective, whether it's in Congress or anyplace else, is there anything close to this yet?
The real problem, Pat, is that Trump has very successfully intimidated Republican lawmakers. Republicans in Congress know that if they get out of line even a little bit, you know, they're going to be punished. They will be primaried. And the Republican Party has decided that it's more important for them to get reelected than to have the U.S. be a global power, or to have their children not get measles and polio. I mean, they've decided that everything is less important than them getting reelected. And when you get to that point, you're going to make the wrong decision all the time. I mean, there was a New York Times story that drove me nuts yesterday with Bill Cassidy. He's a senator from Louisiana. He's a doctor. And he voted for RFK Jr. for HHS secretary, which everyone looked at him to see what was he going to do, because obviously he knows vaccines work. And he voted for RFK Jr. And the New York Times wrote a very sympathetic story about how, the quote was, that RFK was creating discomfort for some Republicans. Well, you know, I don't really care about the discomfort of Republican lawmakers. I care about whether children are safe from diseases. You know, that might be more important to New York Times. You might think about that. And so Joni Ernst, the same thing. And she's, you know, a former veteran and also says she's a victim of sexual abuse, yet she voted for Pete Hegseth, who's been accused of that and who clearly is not qualified to be defense secretary. So the Republicans who should stick up for their own professions and, you know, oppose these ridiculous picks aren't. So, I mean, I just think that the Republicans in Congress are totally intimidated and bought. They're just folding.
So, Jim, let's take it to a different level. Instead of elected officials at the federal level or even at the state level, during Trump's impeachments and during the campaign, there was a steady stream of folks who were, you know, career attorneys, or they served in various departments, and they were more than willing to step up. And I just wondered that I thought was so encouraging. And I wonder if you might start to see a new wave of that, of people saying, well, I was a U.S. attorney or whatever the case may be under a Republican president, but I have to speak out. Or is it more like we've probably seen all the people who are going to speak out and everybody else is just going to hunker down?
This is the great challenge right now of lawyers and, yes, others inside government. There is the example of the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York who says, I can't do what the president, the attorney general, have directed me to do in getting rid of that prosecution of Eric Adams. And she resigns. The problem, of course, with that, as we've seen in the past, as you just indicated, Pat, and we continue to see it, is if the good people leave and the people who remain there do not speak up, as you're articulating, then there is not inside government, not a political voice, but the voice of reason about how government should be working. And yes, I think that is a challenge right now as we go forward.
Right. Standing up for norms. You don't have to be, it shouldn't be partisan to stand up for norms. But, you know, again, this is the environment that we're living in. So let's go to the other side of the aisle. Apart from holding up ping pong paddles with signs on them during the president's speech, I'm wondering about leading Democratic voices. And for example, you know, Senator Bernie Sanders will be in Kenosha tonight and up here in the Chippewa Valley tomorrow in Altoona. Well, we expect him to be speaking out. There was, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when she was new on the scene, was kind of a breath of fresh air. That role is now being played by Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett from Texas, from the Houston area. Her social media posts are wonderful in calling this stuff out. It doesn't mean she's going to stop him single-handedly, but at least people have somebody to look at for some kind of messaging and leadership. Mark, I'll start with you this time. Are there any others that you would point to as at least providing a little sense of, you know, hope in the wilderness?
Yeah, I mean, J.B. Pritzker here, the governor of Illinois, has been very good. Chris Murphy, the senator, has been good. Not enough, but there are some. I mean, no question the Democratic Party nationally needs leadership. And, you know, Pat, one thing I'm disappointed about is former presidents. You know, I mean,
yes,
you know, frankly, where's Barack Obama right now? I mean, that's, to me, that would be, he still has influence and he ought to be speaking out. It's his country too, just like mine. I mean, if I'm out, which I was last weekend, picketing in front of the Tesla showroom in downtown Chicago, why isn't he, you know? So there are bright lights, but the thing about that I think is that I think the people are going to have to drive the politicians. I think that public anger is going to be ahead of the parade of Democratic politicians, and I think most of them will follow. And they'll follow because the public is angry. And so every person can make a difference right now. They need to speak out.
Yep. Joan, any signs of Democratic leadership that we haven't talked about that encourage you?
I agree about Chris Murphy. Also, Brian Schatz, who I believe is one of the senators from Hawaii, he's been on fire lately. And in addition to Jasmine Crockett, I always joke when I play one of her clips on the radio, Pat, I call it Crockett's Corner. And it's I would love to have Crockett's Corner every day. And, you know, I mean, I didn't play the he's Putin's hoe clip, but I've played a lot of them. Greg Kassar, who's somebody I've never heard of before, he's the Democratic representative from Austin, Texas, has also been really speaking out and saying the things you want your leaders to say. And in Illinois, our very own Sean Casten has been very, very passionate about addressing what's going on right now. So those are some extra names.
Good. And James, same with you, although you're not in political circles necessarily, but what kind of voices do you hear out there that you wish could be amplified more around the country?
Absolutely. And it comes not surprisingly from what may be, aside from people like Chris Murphy and Dan Goldman, others in Congress, I don't want to say the last bastion, but certainly the guardrail that's out there. 41 different federal judges around the country have said no to the things that the president is doing. Let me highlight just a couple of them just from the past 48 hours. John McConnell, he's a federal district court judge from Rhode Island. He blocked the president's freeze of funding to 22 states. That's the domestic stuff. Just yesterday, Beryl Howell of Washington, D.C., reversed the finding of the president that the chair of the National Labor Relations Board had to be fired. She goes on to say, an American president is not king, and what you're doing, Mr. President, was a blatant violation of the law. And my very favorite, I suspect yours as well, my co-panelists here, is Amy Coney Barrett, who again 2 days ago joins the Chief Justice who is flaps back and forth as the wind takes him. But Amy Coney Barrett increasingly distancing herself from the conservatives in many, many ways, including approaches to basic theories. She sides with the so-called three liberals to create a 5-4 majority that rejects this emergency request of the president to freeze $2 billion. This is a USAID money. And basically says, no, we're going to send this back. We're not done with that case. Supreme Court isn't done with this. But Amy Coney Barrett stands up and she says, no, you can't do this, at least on an emergency basis. I would recommend, candidly, they're not going to write back to you, but write letters to these people and tell them, we appreciate you're upholding the rule of law. You're never going to hear back from them. But those things do have an influence. I worked for a federal judge in Milwaukee many years ago, and from time to time, he got letters. The judges read those things. They're not going to take your phone calls because of where they are. But those folks also inside the judiciary, 41 of them throughout the United States have already said no to the president of the United States of America.
But you know what's interesting? I was just reading this morning about how Amy Coney Barrett is getting so viciously attacked by the right. They're saying that she's disloyal, that, you know, all the things that you would expect.
The DEI hire.
Oddly enough, I don't see it so much coming to John Roberts, but Amy Coney Barrett is getting put through the MAGA ringer right now.
Oh, yeah. Which may be a sign that she is that voice on the Supreme Court right now. Again, she's not there. She's very conservative. No, let there be no mistaking.
Oh, but
more and more, she is getting in the right and that centrist direction that's reasonable and rational.
Look, the other day, I repeated a column from Brett Stevens of the New York Times. I never thought he'd talk sense about anything, but he did about something in particular. Eric Intosa reminds us on the text line that AOC and others receive death threats on a daily basis, and that's unfortunate. This is the commentary where we live in. Also on the text line, Tim from Wales says, Pat, please remember on Trump tax credits, they'll hurt everyone if not renewed, especially low income and middle class in Milwaukee. Nobody talks about the low and middle income brackets losing their tax credits, only the high earners. Well, it gets to this point, and Mark, I'll start with you. The Trump tax package of 2017 started with, you know, on the cover, people judge the book by its cover, and on the cover was everybody's getting tax cuts. And few people read inside enough to go, well, for the very high earners, it stays super high. But as time goes by, that tax relief for the low and middle brackets that Tim is talking about gets substantially lower, almost disappears. And it's nobody's saying that the whole thing has to, that everybody's taxes have to go up, but there's a right way and a wrong way to rewrite the 2017 law. And right now, if I'm not mistaken, Mark, all Trump and the Republicans' plan is to simply rubber stamp that same tax regime and pass it with more cuts to pay for it.
Yeah, renew it, which means that, you know, I mean, really, if they wanted to help the poor and middle class, they could do that. That's not what they want. I mean, there are two really significant steps they're taking in order to pay back the super rich donors who gave them a bunch of money to win elections. And one is this you know, this extension of the big tax gift for rich people, and the other one is getting rid of so many IRS agents so the super rich can cheat on their taxes more. So I mean, this idea that, you know, that the that just extending the taxes would be a good thing for poor and middle class people is really not looking at what's really happening, in my opinion.
No, and again, it's not about writing a tax policy. It's about writing a tax break and then doing all this massive transfer to the very rich to help pay for it. We didn't even have time to get into the story about how some U.S. allies are now talking openly about withholding intelligence from the U.S. because they don't think they can't trust Trump not to pass it on to Putin. But, you know,
wait, would you trust us? I wouldn't trust us.
No, I wouldn't either.
I think we'll have stuff to talk about next week and the week after and the week after. And we'll just continue to monitor it at, you know, Designed to Inform as we get started into a weekend where hopefully we can tune it out now and then and relax a little bit. Joan, thank you again for coming on in.
Thank you for the invitation, Pat. Always a pleasure.
From WCPT in Chicago. You can hear her from 2 to 5. One person on the text line said, can we hear you on a smartphone? I am sure that through Heartland Signal, you can stream on a smartphone.
Radio app. Yep. On your phone.
Yep. You've got Mark Jacobs' newsletter to look up, Jim Santel on the radio tomorrow. Thanks to all of you. Have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you again soon.
Bye.
All right. When we come back, Dan Schumacher will be here. We will talk a little sports and we will wrap things up heading into the weekend on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, wait a minute. Even I know this one.
What?
We found a Grateful Dead song I know, everybody.
Oh, wait.
Isn't that adorable? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I will take that. Yeah, everybody knows Touch of Grey. It's a wonderful... No. Dan Schumacher's here with us now. Dan and Greg bring us a little Grateful Dead tune every Friday morning at this time. How are things going, Mr. Schumacher?
Going well. We're finally 18 inches of snow later. We're finally getting I couldn't park even in my parking lot because it hadn't been plowed yet, and it's an interesting concept, I have to tell you.
Plowing a parking lot?
No, it's interesting the way they do downtown Ashland.
Oh, okay.
So they take the snow and they make a middle embankment.
Yes.
You still have 2 lanes.
Yes. Yep.
And then they come back with a massive snow blower.
Yeah, and blow it into it. Yep. Like a hay wagon almost. Yeah, and blow it into the wagon.
And next thing you know, all the streets are clear, and there's nothing on the sidewalks. It's just amazing the way they can get rid of the snow, and they dump it out in this ravine, so then it flows into the lake.
And it works so long as the drivers understand that now you've got less visibility when you approach intersections and things like that. And I'd love to say that every driver does that, but not every driver does that. Please, when you're dealing with these visibility situations, take it easy out there. I know it was last week. I was just back from Arizona, so I'd already talked about going to see the Brewers' spring training facility. I was watching a little spring training baseball on TV last night. It makes you, between that and the sunrise or the sun, you know, changing, it just feels good. This week's snow is going to be forgotten before you know it.
Sunday we got to put the clocks forward, make it even more of a longer day, so that'll be good.
Yeah, that's okay. It's, you know, again, each day is getting a little bit longer here. Hey, we are coming up on the conference tournaments in all these sports, and so I'm going to ask you a question about it, but first let me set it up by saying that in hockey, the Badger men's hockey Big Ten tournament, they're at Ohio State this evening at 6:00. The Badger women's hockey team, best in the nation, is at Minnesota Duluth this afternoon at 1 in their conference tournament. Marquette hosts St. John's tomorrow, and then comes their Big East Conference men's basketball tournament. The Badger men host Penn State on Saturday. Tomorrow, you can catch the action there starting at 11 o'clock on several Civic Media stations and on the app. And then they head into the Big Ten Conference tournament. But I wondered about your perspective on conference tournaments, given that you also then have the NCAA tournament and you have all the seedings and all of that in there. Mm-hmm. So are the conference tournaments just a money-making, you know, side gig on your way to the NCAAs? Or are they serious tune-ups? How are we supposed to see conference tournaments in this day and age?
Well, from a Big Ten standpoint, it's a moneymaker. It's an attraction for tourists. Usually it's rotating between Indianapolis and Chicago. I think it's a huge tune-up. It also gives you the opportunity to improve your possible seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, say the Badgers take off and run and win the Big Ten tournament, it's probably going to elevate their seed when it comes to Selection Sunday.
Makes people crazy when they come up with the final brackets that here, all right, let's say your top three teams in this conference are gonna go into the tournament, of course. But then like the number five team somehow wins the conference tournament. Yeah. Well, now they get an automatic berth in the NCAAs. And I mean,
and then really in the end, Pat, it's that dream of, you know, even if you didn't take first place, you're not the number one seed in your Big Ten tournament, you still got a chance.
Yes, and that's true.
Say you're that Penn State that you're like 10th in the league, 11th in the league, and you still have hope to make the NCAA tournament because you can win by being that Cinderella story.
Yes, and of course, the Cinderella story narrative is very much alive nowadays, because when we were growing up, for how many decades, you know, a 16 seed never beat a 1 seed. I mean, why are we going through all this? And then, what was it? Fairleigh Dickinson upseeded Purdue in 2023, and University of Maryland, Baltimore County upset top-seeded Virginia in 2018.
I remember that one. Oh, you know what's crazy is that school that you just said right there in Maryland, they have now transitioned from Division I to Division III.
Well, they had their moment of glory. You know,
they did a couple of years ago, and it probably turned into a good fundraising opportunity for the athletic department, but why they chose still to go drop down to D3, but that's going to start to happen a lot as the next couple of years roll out, where I think the NCAA is not going to be an NCAA anymore. The Division I game will be gone. They're going to be their own entity, their own set of rules, revenue sharing. It went from Power 5 to Power 4, then you'll get down to a Power 3.
The whole goal is just, you know, the one big conference of 64 teams or something like that, it feels like.
It's all going to be, it's just going to be a select group that doesn't share the money anymore, whereas, you know, the TV contract pays the bills for the NCAA. Mm-hmm. It pays the bills and gives a budget to Division III and Division II as a whole. So Division I does pay for the other divisions, and that's going to go away, I got a feeling, in about another 4 or 5 years when the TV contract comes up.
Yeah. Devonta Adams, released by the Jets. Are we going to see him in a Bears uniform? The Packers?
I don't want him. I actually don't want him. And so he says, I'm like, wouldn't you want Aaron Rodgers for the Bears? I'm like, no, absolutely.
Could you see that? Aaron Rodgers and Devonta Adams in Bears uniforms. Oh, my gosh.
I have no idea where they're going to go.
No.
I think the perfect fit for Rodgers is to go to the Raiders and get some back home.
I was going to say the same thing, but also I think Rodgers should just retire.
Maybe he can still host Jeopardy. Maybe that Ken Jennings guy gets tired of it. Dan Schumacher, have a great start to the weekend. I'll talk to you a little later.
You bet, guys.
Greg Bach is back for Matt and Aaron Air, 2 short hours from now, so tune in for that. And a reminder that next week on Wednesday morning, we will be talking to Brittany Kinzer. She's a candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. She will join us live Wednesday morning at 7:30. We will be back here come Monday morning at 6 a.m. Remember, Up North News is brought to you by Courier Newsroom. We are the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you 6 a.m. Monday up north.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.